Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, you got us for the next 4 hours rolling along here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas, a little, I know it's not overnights, but a late night feel for us here on Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, that means we can get wild. Can we curse on the air now that it's later in the evening? Can we
say dirty words? David Gascon. Let's never stop David Gascon from doing it. You know,
yeah, that's great. Can't wait.
We may get some in the gutter with Gascon. Is that the word that's been traveling around?
Who knows? Things get a little bit out of hand in the gutter with David Gascon.
David Gascon,
especially later on. So we got to be careful. Got to be careful.
All right. Man, good stuff. So Dave's going to be here at the news desk. He'll give us some breaking news if we need it and if we have it. We've got Lee Delap as our executive producer. So you know what that means, Jonas.
What's
this
that mean?
Is a Lee Delap production.
Oh, yes.
So this is a Lee Delap produced show here on Fox Sports Radio.
It can't get him to email us a rundown, but, you know, I mean, never mind all that, Dan. I mean, just hanging out here.
Oh, my Windows 95 on my computer crashed today.
Yeah.
So I'm having a difficult time. Oh,
yeah,
seriously.
Yeah, we've got major email issues here on this show. We're just letting people know right off the bat.
My computer that I have at my home base, Jonas, I'll bring up a tab and it will just circle and circle and circle. And I usually think that's a good idea or a good thing that it's getting. But then you get the pull down like, do you want to stop or wait for it?
And it's frustrating.
Yeah. I usually wait. That's usually my pick when we're having computer issues. But hopefully those are the only issues that we are going to have tonight. And our issues pale in comparison to what's happening in the National Football League. You may have heard David Gascon mention it in his news report. But the founder of FedEx, Fred Smith, who's a minority owner of the Washington Redskins football team, sent a 16-word statement today in regard to the nickname of the Washington football team and basically telling Daniel Snyder that they want the name changed. They don't want Redskins anymore as the National Football League's Washington nickname. Jonas, this is the big news, the statement. By the way, I had to vamp there, Jonas, because my computer took forever to bring up the page. We have communicated to the team in Washington our request that they change the team name. That was the statement sent out today by FedEx.
Yeah, and Dan Snyder has been steadfast that he's not going to change his name. And in fact, this doesn't even go back to just Dan Snyder. They became the Washington Redskins back in 1933. They were the Boston Braves before that, I believe. It was or the Washington Braves, whatever. Point being, they were the Redskins back in 1933. And so even years later, there were some people that came to them and asked them to change the name. And they said, well, you know, we're not going to change the name, but I'll tell you what, we'll modify some of the lyrics on our fight song. It's like, okay, it's not really the same thing. It's like, you know, I'd like a burger and fries. Like, well, we're not going to give you a burger and fries. How about, you know, a corn dog and some broccoli? It's like, no, that's not the same thing. It's not what we're asking here. And so they were very steadfast in not wanting to change it back then. There's been different points throughout the past several years to where a Native American tribe has come to them and said, hey, can you guys do something about this? And Dan Snyder, as recently as back in 2015 and then reiterated it back in 2018, said, we are never going to change the name. And his quote was, and you can put that in capital letters, never. Well, now here we are. Crazy things are happening in 2020. Monuments are being torn down. Things are being ratified. There's all sorts of stuff being painted on courts and jerseys. And Dan Snyder now finds himself in the crosshairs of money being brought into it because you've got sponsorship deals and you've got big time companies who are saying, we don't want any part of this if you're going to continue to go down this road. Some of this may be PR grandstanding by some of these companies to show, hey, guess what? You know, we stand by everybody and we want to make sure everybody's treated fairly. Where have they been all these other years when they were selling that merchandise? It said Redskins on the front, but that's a whole nother discussion. And so here we are. I just want to know, is Dan Snyder really willing to ride this out all the way? Because if so, he's going to have to answer a lot of questions.
Well, I think that the world that we live in and the country that we live in right now is so different than from anything of even 5 years ago. And I know you mentioned the 2018 stand. It could be 2 years ago if you want to put it in that sort of fashion. Like, things have just changed in such a huge way. And I think that Dan Snyder previously always felt that he had the backing of his fan base, and the backing of that fan base would support him in keeping the name. And now, as here we are in 2020, I don't think that is, he has the backing that he once did. This may all come down to money, Jonas. It may come down to FedEx taking their name off of the stadium for the naming rights. You heard Dave mention the Nike situation, where now in the guy who spotted it, Mike Jones of USA Today, is going to join us in about 15 minutes, but there's no Redskins apparel that you can find on Nike's site right now. You've got calls out to Pepsi. You had other investment firms also asking for this change recently. And so now you don't have the backing if you're Dan Snyder, and you may be losing a huge taking a huge financial hit. But even more so from all that, Jonas, I think now it's basically the question, and I put it in this way, what's the gain in keeping it? What's really the win in all of this? Because,
well, you don't have to throw away a bunch of merchandise.
That's about it. That's about it. You know what else is crazy? When you talked about the origin of the nickname, this is a team that had a helmet that did not have a depiction of a Native American person on it in the late 1960s. Their helmet actually was similar to what Florida State now wears. You know, flip-flopping of colors, similar, you know, color scheme, but it had an arrow and it had a feather. Then Washington ends up moving to, Jonas, the R, yeah, with the feather on it. And then they decide to go to the depiction in the early 1970s.
Maybe they thought nobody was looking. Like, hey, nobody will notice this.
My goodness, like, no. Like, what was that meaning like in 1972 to be like, no, this is where we want to go. This is the road that we're traveling on. And as crazy as it sounds, listen, you and I grew up, I'm a few years older than you, but the Redskins were winning Super Bowls and Joe Gibbs was there and it was the Hogs, and whether it be with John Riggins running or Mark Rippon throwing all over the Buffalo Bills, or Doug Williams putting 35 in the second quarter on the Broncos, the Redskins were a darn good football team. And I associated those colors, and I associated that mascot, the logo, with the Washington Redskins. Took me a while, but now I'm ready to say, you know, all right, let's do this. I'm not proud of saying it took me a while, but I was at one point in the camp of like, it's just a logo. You know, I never was these Native American people aren't offended by it. We all evolve. And I think so many people are evolving now that you realize, all right, now is the time for change. The question is Dan Snyder going to be willing to do that? Because I don't think there's much to gain from it.
I have, and this is distant. It's not like, you know, I walk around with it and it's very clear and obvious, but I actually have Native American blood in my family, in my background, on my mom's side of the family. And so for me, I've never been offended by the name, but I'm also not married to it. So if they wanted to change it to something else, all right, change it to something else. Like, do what you need to do. I'm not the person that they should appeal to. But even as recent as like a week ago, they asked Ron Rivera about it. And Ron Rivera's quote, if I'm not mistaken, was, hey, that's a conversation for another time. So even Ron Rivera's kind of kicked this can down the road and said, yeah, listen, you know, we can talk about that, but that's for, you know, another time. And it's almost like the Redskins are like, man, can we just figure out what the season's going to be? Let's get to the season, and then we'll get into this, and maybe people will forget about it. But now that you've got sponsors pulling out, I'll ask you, so I have a couple of questions for you, because mm-hmm. I do think that there is something to this. If sponsors pull out, do you think they will have a hard time finding somebody else to put their name on that stadium?
Yes.
Okay. I don't, because I believe that there will be a sponsor somewhere who looks at this as an opportunity to push their business forward, and I don't think it will have that much of a difference on them trying to get a sponsor. Here's the other one I'll ask you. If they were a better football team, would they be getting this much heat to change the name?
Yeah, I think this is more about the climate that we are in right now and how this country is changing. Maybe 2 years ago it's different. Maybe 4 years ago and 6 years ago it's different. And, you know, if RG3 leads them to a Super Bowl, it's not as much of a conversation. But even if they did, even if they had a Patriots-like run, I think that this would come up. And Jonas, I'll even say this. Maybe their lack of winning has not put this topic on the forefront. You know, for a team to be in that conversation and to play in a conference championship game or even a Super Bowl, yeah, I mean, this is the type of story that would come up on Super Bowl week. 9,000,000% it would have if the Washington Redskins would have been to a Super Bowl. So I'm almost thinking that maybe their lack of winning, if anything, had done, had maybe not put this issue to the forefront.
When did you realize growing up that the name Redskins could be perceived as a racial slur?
Well, you know,
because I didn't even think of it. Honest to God, it just, that was a team name. I didn't even think that far into it growing up. And maybe that's, you know, just my naivety and all the everything, you know, just watching sports and all that. But I didn't even think about it until I started to think about it and then realized, okay, well, I could understand why maybe somebody would be a little bit offended by that.
I can tell you that there were multiple high schools where I grew up that were named with the color red in front of them, either Red Raiders, Red Men, within less than an hour drive, Jonas, multiple high schools with that name. What came up for me was when Marquette University changed from Warriors to Golden Eagles because of this. And this was early 90s, you know, around 1990, around that time. So that's when this pops up. And it's interesting because I hear people saying, well, they should be called the Washington Warriors, you know, and it's like, well, one school decided to completely erase that, you know, nickname because of the what it represented and move completely away, you know, to a different one. So, you know, when you're trying to think of like different names, it's, you know, I don't know where they would go with it, but it was probably about, you know, around the time that Marquette changed. And the reason I brought up those schools, Jones, is because it was so a part of, you know, of growing up. A school in our conference was the Red Raiders. And as I said, you know, two high schools that I know nearby were also Red Men, I believe, is what their nicknames were.
Yeah, I think there's an element to people that are in support of the name. I think they look at it as more of a tribute. You're paying tribute to Native Americans. But the problem is there's a lot of other people who just can't get past the name and to the meaning, because the name screams at them in such a way that they don't want to hear what the reasoning is. They just look at it as a racial slur. And so now we just wait to see what Daniel Snyder's next comment or reaction is to this. You know, Ron Rivera is going to be asked about it. African-American players are going to be asked about it. White players are going to be asked about it. It's going to be a storyline moving forward.
Jonas, for a guy who wants to move his stadium back to D.C., this is one of the requirements of changing the nickname. Maybe Dan Snyder then looks at that and says, okay, you know, whatever his motivation is going to be, it's going to be. But this, I think now is the time that something like this could happen. And you know what? If he does change it, Dan Snyder's probably going to get the most positive news that he's gotten as the owner of the Redskins in however long he's owned the team.
I mean, you got to take him out like that. What do you mean? Josh Johnson was the starting quarterback a couple of years ago after Mark Sanchez was awful. I mean, come on, Dan. Let's
turn RG3's knee around. Put him back out there.
I mean, come on, Dan. Heath Shuler. I mean, you know, things had a rough run for Heath Shuler there. That was before Dan Snyder, but never mind that.
I was going to say, how much padding should we put behind this pad of a wall? No one's going to headbutt it. Don't worry about it. You know?
Oh, man. Dan Byer, Jonas Knox, in for Jason Smith and Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. By the way, Dan, you're not doing yourselves, you're not giving yourself enough credit. You are a genius when it comes to creating things. I think you need to come up with the Redskins' new name before the end of the show, or at least a couple of different options. All right. You are the king of it. All right. You're the king of it.
All right.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I put a 2020 joke on Twitter today, Jonas. Yep, did a year 2020 joke, put it on Twitter, one retweet, 12 likes. There it is.
I feel like now, in fairness, you and I were sort of making, because I saw people that were posting crap like, man, sure hope 2020 is a second half team. It's like, come on, man. Like, get some better material. Like, we get it. Everybody here has got crap up to their neck all year long. Okay, we all understand it's been a rough one. Just deal with it. Stop trying to divide the year in half and make it seem like all of a sudden, Dan, it's July 1st and the coronavirus is like, oh, God, we were supposed to be off an hour ago. All right, we're out of here, guys. Enjoy the second half of your year. Come on. That works.
Man. Yeah, it does not work. By the way, it was an image of somebody getting 8 points in the first round of Fast Money on Family Feud. They got 8, and they were first up. So they had the whole shebang available to them on Answers, and they got 8 points. And so I said that 2020 appeared on Family Feud.
I mean, love your game show network.
I do. I absolutely do. Family Feud is on right now for the next 2 hours. Then America Says comes on for an hour. Then you got Catch 21, and then Common Knowledge. But that show stinks. So we don't watch that one. Yeah.
Jeez. Have to take him out like that, for God's sakes.
I'm sorry. It just doesn't do it for me.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're not interested in Catch 21, Dan, or Family Feud, I don't know if you know this or not, but the NBA season is starting later this month, Dan.
Ooh, interesting.
We're going to be in the bubble soon, Dan, and then we're going to have all sorts of NBA action. It's going to be a cornucopia of sports. You're going to have Zion Williamson looks all jacked. He looks all shredded. He was wearing a mask, so of course the same unoriginal people on social media did a side-by-side of him and Bane and said, look at this, man. I've seen this somewhere before. So you've got all that stuff, Dan, and people are getting excited for it. We got a bubble happening, Dan, later on this month.
In Orlando, 22 teams. Why 22? I know why, but I still say why 22? Listen, the NBA, total side note to the point we're going to get to, the NBA should have said Bradley Beal, are you going to play for the Wizards if we return? And if he goes, then you're like, okay, Wizards aren't in it. Realistically, you're trying to get as many, you know, as little people possible, as few people as possible in the bubble, but still trying to be competitive. And there's no reason for the Wizards to be there. And so if Bradley Beal's not going to be there, then there's really no reason for the Washington Wizards to be there. But on July 30th, we will have an NBA, you know, we will have an NBA doubleheader to start off the season. And Jonas, this is a point, and we'll get to the point. But we talked about it last weekend on my Sunday show with George Reister that I do, and I'm sure you know you've talked about it as well. But one of the hiccups and the reasons why the Clippers and Lakers have to play opening night is because if you played them three games into the season, the game could be meaningless for the Lakers. So, like, the Lakers are going to go there, beat the Clippers. If they beat the Clippers on opening night, they've basically wrapped up the number one seed.
Right.
And now they got to go through the motion in seven other games before they actually get to the reason why they are there. And I'm not saying that, I mean, it's a tall order to beat the Clippers for how good they've been playing. But the fact of the matter is, that's why you have Clippers Lakers on that night, because the Lakers Clippers matchup at any other point may have been moot in that season.
Well, you see, Dan, this is where they made a mistake. They needed to consult with you. Back to the game show theme we go. They should have done it like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? That first game was worth $500. Four games later, it's worth $1.5 million. I mean, like, I don't know what to tell you. Like they should have scaled this up a little bit so we could make these games interesting. Hey, guys, we know you had a big game in the first game of the season. Just so you know, the game two games from now is actually worth 1.5 wins. All right? So that. We just need you to be a little bit more involved. Look, they wanted to figure out a way to get Zion in. They wanted to figure out a way to try and make this that much more interesting. Having five teams from the West and one in the East, or whatever combination they did it, it's very bizarre. It's very confusing. But I also think that they realize, look, not everything has to make total sense. People are going to be so starved for NBA action that they're going to take whatever it is that we give them.
Yeah, I do think that is going to be the case for a little while. Like, I think early on you're curious on how teams are going to play, maybe in the first week. But when we don't really know the breakdown of these teams and who's going to show up and who's not going to show up, I'm just curious on how it all plays out. Are we going to care about that eighth seed and if Memphis is going to be able to, to be able to hold off or extend their lead over Portland and New Orleans so they don't have to get in that playoff scenario? That to me is more intriguing than actually the jockeying of position, because when it comes to jockeying of position, Jonas, I have no idea what position it's best to be in, because, I mean, who knows how things are going to play out in Orlando? I've gone back and forth on whether I think the top teams are at an advantage or they're at a disadvantage. Right now I'm at the advantage side. I used to be at the disadvantage, but I've now moved over to the advantage side. It's just, there's so much in the air of it, of not knowing how it's going to work out. I'm just glad we at least have a full playoff. They didn't have to compromise the series by doing a best of three. They should all be best of seven. You wanted the best of three.
I know. I wanted the circus. You know, I wanted stuff like that. I wanted ring buzzers and trick mirrors. And, you know, I wanted a little bit of that. If we're going to get goofy, like, let's get goofy all the way. You know, I mean, come on. Why not?
They should have done it on aggregate like they do with soccer, you know.
I'm telling you. And by the way, that idea is brilliant by soccer, because now there's none of this just coasting through or we're taking our starters out. If you're behind on points total, aggregate all the way up into there, now you've got to score a certain amount and you're desperate. Even though you're up by four goals, you're desperate because you need that fifth goal in order to advance. I would have been totally on board with that.
Rockets need to beat the Clippers by 18 points in this third game if they want to advance. That would be or I guess you could do it in the second game because you would only need two in soccer. But, yeah, those are more ideas. I do think, though, like you heard Anthony Davis say that he believes that the Lakers are in better position. And now you've got, you know, people trying to say, is this a legitimate champion? Yeah. Is this route harder, more difficult than it would be? I'm at the point where I do think it's legit, Jonas. I just don't think that we'll ever remember it as a legit championship, if that makes any sense. I think it'll always just be the Orlando bubble season. That's how I think we'll always just look at it.
It's going to be looked at as that, but I also think that's a cool opportunity for everybody that's living in the here and the now, because I've been saying during this whole time, we're living a chapter in history. Literally nobody has ever seen what we have all witnessed and been around and watched over the past, you know, 3 months, 4 months, whatever the case may be. We're going to be talking about this for generations to come. They talk about, you hear people try and explain the Great Depression. You just can't really understand it because nobody's really around to really break down in detail that was an adult, a grown up at that time that can tell you, all right, this is exactly what happened and here's how we got here. We are all living the moment. And 20 years from now, we're going to be telling people, Oh, you think this year's a pain in the ass for you? Go back to 2020, pal. All right, where everything got shut down, where you had to wear gas masks to go through a produce department. Like, you could not describe this to anybody before it happened and make them believe what was actually going to happen. I think, yes, we're going to look at back on this, and it's going to be a little curious, and we're not really going to know what to make of it, but I think it's a legitimate championship. Everybody's dealing with the same stuff. You're asking professional athletes who just left quarantine to go back into quarantine and try and win a title and do so in a manner that we've never, ever really seen, with no fans, no home court advantage. If you're the Bucks, if you're the Lakers, and you worked all season because you wanted to ensure that you were going to have home court throughout the course of the playoffs, you kind of wasted your time a little bit. Because now nobody's got a home court advantage. Mm-hmm. And for me, the fact that there's more of a threat of a team on the outside looking in being able to make a run and win a championship. We've never seen a team in the shot clock era, other than the Rockets in the mid-90s, lower than a 4 seed win an NBA championship. I think that's a real threat this time around. Thus, I think it's a legitimate championship, whoever wins it.
Now, this is why I've gone back and forth on it, Jonas, is because you talk about these teams getting hot, and I take the Bucks for a perfect example of last year, where they're up 2-0 in their series against the Raptors, and they lose an overtime game against Toronto. They win that game, they're up 3-0 in the series. They end up losing it, so it's 2-1. Allowed the Raptors to get momentum back in the series. They win game 4, you go to Milwaukee, Toronto locks them up, and then closes it out in game 6. Toronto, the better team throughout that series. But what also happened is, if the Bucks win game 3, which was their best output of any of the other games that they played the rest of that series, they probably go to the NBA Finals. I don't think that the Raptors come back from 3-0 and win that. So my point in all of this is this. Toronto was able to get a win on their home court. And if you had me pick the better team against the not as good team in a 7-game series on a neutral court, I'm picking the better team every time. So I actually think that the top teams will actually maybe have a better chance, because the lower seeded teams won't have that home court advantage to maybe turn a series or to get a win, where the scales are a little bit more even. And I know that I have to go and win a game on the road to get that series. But I just look at what happened in Milwaukee last year, being like, man, if they close that out or they get that win in Toronto, then, you know, momentum doesn't change. But I'm agreeing with you that it's a legit championship. I just think there's just a lot to take in on who's really going to have an advantage and who's not.
Yeah, and you never know who responds better playing in front of no fans. I mean, like, you know, like, because we've always talked about, all right, Denver and Utah have an advantage because they play at altitude. So that those are difficult places to go play. And the statistics and the numbers on when you get Denver on the second half of a back-to-back, what is the win-loss percentage? It's a struggle because you're at altitude and maybe you're not in that type of shape that the Denver Nuggets are from when they play their night in and night out at Mile High. All of a sudden, that's all gone. So I just, what makes it so fascinating is that we've never seen it before. We really, as much as we can, well, I think somebody might have that, like, nobody really has an idea what to expect, and it makes it that much more interesting. I just think at this point, from everything we've seen, not just in 2020, but everything that we've seen going into all this, nothing would surprise me. And also the fact that you never know if somebody, you know, the night before game 6 of the NBA Finals and all of a sudden Giannis tests positive for coronavirus. I mean, now what? I mean, these are all real things that could actually happen, which is what makes it so fascinating and so interesting.
You know, and I know we're short on time here. I'll make this quick. We talk a lot when we've talked about this season and comparing it to the 2011-2012 season, which started late because of the lockout. And then you had the work stoppage in 99. And I just point to the Spurs for this reason, Jonas, because the Spurs won in 99, and then the Lakers reeled off their 3 in a row. And that Spurs title for the few years after wasn't looked at as a legitimate title.
Yeah.
It took them, it took the Spurs to having to beat the Nets and, you know, and to beating, you know, the Pistons and then beating the, like, to get four or five titles, it took that long for that first one to be legit. And so if you have the Bucks win or the Nuggets win a title, I think it's going to take them. They are going to need to win another title in the seasons to come to really make this one seem legit, because it'll kind of come off as the coronavirus, the fluke championship.
Well, you know, if James Harden wins it, he's not getting credit for it.
No,
let's just go, like, it's not happening. Not. Like, don't even accept the ring. Like, if Daryl Morey has a ring presented to you at half court, throw it in the stands, give it to somebody, because you're never going to get credit for it. I'll give him credit for it, but you know, nationally, nobody's going to give him credit for
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. It was a tainted title. I was about to do my Rob Parker, but I don't have a Rob Parker.
Oh, come on. We all know if that was played on the road, James Harden, he's a goat, the most garbage whatever of all time.
I'm a woman.
There it is.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
The news in the NFL today is about the Washington Redskins and the possible name change. But the news of the NFL this week is centered around, prior to this, the New England Patriots and the signing of Cam Newton to that one-year deal. And, Jonas, what surprised me about this, actually, you know what? It hasn't surprised me at all. We sit there and we talk about these fantasy scenarios, or we wonder if Cam Newton's going to be able to do this. Is he going to be able to do that? Is Jarrett Stidham their guy? Who's going to start? And then we start to look at, oh, I don't know, the Patriots 8-8. I don't think he's going to play it down. We break down the Patriots without ever realizing who the New England Patriots are.
Right.
And it goes back to, you know, in my mind, Super Bowl 53, when they hold the Rams to 3 points. It was also during that season, Jonas, that was on the heels of the Super Bowl that they lost, when they never punted. They didn't punt in that game, yet they still lost the football game that, you know, maybe Bill Belichick thought to himself, you know what, we better get good on the defensive side of the football. And it's never talked about. And it's just amazing to me of when we look at, you know, like, how is this team going to run? We are so quarterback driven. We are so blinded by the quarterback position that people fail to realize that the Patriots had the best defense last year in yards allowed. They're the best scoring defense in the National Football League. They were sixth against the run. That this is a defensive football team. You don't need to ask the world of your quarterback if you're going to win the AFC East. And I just don't think people are grasping that when they looked at New England.
They didn't score. They didn't allow a point until week three last year. it was September 22nd before they allowed a point, and it was against the Jets, and that game ended up being a blowout. And to your point, this whole conversation of, man, you know, Cam, he's got accuracy issues, he's got this, he's got that. Okay, find me one game last year. Honestly, if you go back to the Patriots schedule a year ago, find me one game that you can look at and go, they won that game because of Tom Brady. I really can't think of one single game that I go, man, if it wasn't for Tom Brady, they wouldn't have won that game. Did he make some clutch throws from time to time? Of course. But he was nowhere near the quarterback that he's been in years past. And if you go back to that Super Bowl game you're talking about, Tom Brady was the best player on the field. He threw for over 500 yards, and they lost the game. Fast forward a year later, and they won a game based on, yes, defense, and he had a clutch throw to Rob Gronkowski down the stretch. Other than that, he wasn't lighting up that LA Ram defense, and he didn't light up anybody a year ago. He had some, statistically, you look at some of his games, and he had some big yardage game, but you can't find one game that you look at and go, they won that game because of Tom Brady. And then when there was an opportunity in the playoffs, and look, he was put in a bad spot, that game ended against Tennessee on a Tom Brady interception and a pick six, and the dynasty and the run for him in New England was over. But it's not like they were dependent on the quarterback position a year ago. So bringing in a guy for $1 million and change who was once an MVP a few years back, who's got something to prove, it makes all the sense in the world as long as our expectations are set at the right place.
Yeah, I mean, if Cam Newton starts, you know what he's going to do? He's going to drop back to pass. He's also going to look at James White A lot to the flat is what Tom Brady did. There's not, like nothing changes with them, and it's, you know, it's even go back to the whole big conversation. It's why I've always sided with Belichick in the Belichick or Brady thing, and I get that it's both of them. Like I understand that, you know, they obviously each had a role in it, but it's also why I think that New England is going to be fine. And when we sit there and we try to analyze the Cam Newton, you know, signing, and how is he going to do this, and how are they going to respond with that, or is he going to start or is he not going to start? To me, it's like, all right, that's probably third on the, maybe fourth on the things that Bill Belichick is really worried about. It's can the defense get stops? Can they run the football? And are they going to be better on special teams? But I know the overreaction, and I know it's Cam Newton, and I know it's the quarterback position, but realistically, when we sit there and we break down what's going to happen with New England and how all these pieces are going to fit in or how they're going to not fit with Tom Brady being there, realize who the New England Patriots are first.
This is all Bill Belichick wants from his quarterback. Don't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Just don't turn the ball over. I'm not asking for a lot. Just don't turn the ball over. And this is a stat that the guys on Straight Out of Vegas told me about. If you were to – the team that wins the turnover battle wins it about 70% of the time. So just if that's all you know and all you've got is a team that won the turnover battle in a game, they win 70% of the time. In fact, winning the turnover battle is so important that you're more likely to win a game in the NFL – if you win the turnover battle, then if you're leading at halftime. Think about that. Like, even if you're leading at halftime, you're more likely to win a game if you've won the turnover battle and the game's half over at that point. That's how important that is. That's all Belichick cares about. Don't turn the ball over. Our defense is going to keep us in every single game, no matter what. It's not like anybody in that division is going to run away with the AFC East now. We're going to stay in every game. Just don't turn the ball over and try and make a couple of plays. And it got them to double-digit wins a year ago, and they were hosting a playoff game last year, and they would have had a bye if not for whatever the hell you called that in week 17 against the Dolphins. I think we're missing the point on a lot of this stuff.
Oh, man. Amazing stuff. Yeah. Get your facts straight. Get your pats straight as well.
Yeah, no kidding.